Thank you. I just restarted the recording.
Okay, good. Darn. All right. Sorry about that. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
No worries. Zoom and all this is weird.
It does take a village to run these meetings. Okay.
That was your get this.
Cyrus. Okay, thank you very much. And I'll go back to mute you. And okay, I think you're muted now. All right, Mary, we'll let you move on.
Great. Okay, the next item, 2.5, is purchasing procurement policy. This is just for review and discussion at this point too, and I'll incorporate any feedback. I have kind of an outline of a procedure, and the procedure is more internal. We, in the district's operation manual, we have policy 7, which is for expense authorization, and it has the major overall components of expense authorization. But with the recent staff turnover before I came on, it highlighted the need for more of an administrative procedure inside that could be used for continuity of staff in procuring goods and services in compliance with the policy. So my goal is to put together that administrative procedures type of document for future use. And I just included an outline. It's in very, very rough draft form so far. It's not essentially a board level policy. It's more of a staff procedure, but I want to have that for continuity future. So it's really going to take that policy and break it down to the bullet points that I have with authority levels, you know, what the process is for requesting service, quotes, bids, proposals, when, what levels those can each occur, and what cooperative agreements the district could potentially use. State or county contracts often are a good way for the district to get goods and services at better rates. And then authorization whenever there's a purchase made by staff, reimbursement, credit cards, and then surplus property disposal. So it's just in progress. That's really just for information unless you see anything that you'd like addressed in that, since you've experienced it in the last couple months.
Well, I have to say, it is one thing that I have to give RGS a lot of credit that, you know, maybe they didn't leave us with the final policy, but I think they made some very good strides in terms of, we brought DocuSign on board that allowed for approval and verification of charges. That's been a big thing for me since I've been in this role, is I've been given things to approve and I thought, how do I know who ordered this service and whether it actually performed?
Right.
So there are definitely, I think we've made progress, but you still have many gaps to fill.
Yep. Okay. Anything, Director Baumer?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. Let's see. So next item, 2.0, a payroll approval policy. So in policy 130, pay period, there's currently addresses the approval of time related to role manager. It's a pretty, and that's kind of internal control that we would want to implement as far as any staff time being approved. So I've drafted up proposed language for policy 130 to include pay periods and timesheets. And the language changes is really a full addition, really stating that employees will submit timesheets. Timesheets must be completed and submitted on or before the last day of the pay period, that the general manager will approve timesheets for payroll processing. The general manager shall submit for payroll processing to the finance committee for review his or her timesheet, and any issues arising out of the general manager's timesheet would be referred to by the finance committee to the board of directors. So just to kind of put that internal control in place, and I did have legal counsel review this, and they made some very good edits. So it would be a a proposed policy to go to the board of directors. And then as part of that, I also added my timesheet just to provide it to the finance committee. So it'll be going through for processing.
Oh, excellent. I have a just kind of a Brown Act sort of technical question.
Okay.
So if you send your timesheet to the finance committee for review, let's say you just did it in DocuSign or something like that. So since we're a standing committee, but are we still allowed to just offline sign off on your timesheet? Is that considered an actual decision under the...
I had actually approval in here, but legal counsel corrected it to say that I was providing it to the finance committee for review. And so really that's all that would occur. The approval, I think legal felt perhaps that could be. So that's why they had me change it to review. And then if there are any issues identified by the finance committee, that could be escalated to the board of directors. So I think that avoids that potential issue.
So would that mean either one or the other of us? Because we can actually talk to each other offline outside of a publicly noticed meeting about
finance committee. I'm sorry, what part does that mean?
Oh, I mean, I'm not anticipating this, but if one of us said, oh, I don't really understand this timesheet, I don't know if I should approve it or something like that, we can't really talk to each other about that.
Though. Right. So what the process, the way I see it, is that it would come to the finance committee for review. If there were any, and I would think that it would be anything that came to the finance committee's attention at the finance committee meeting. So it would be a meeting that's public where you're both in attendance, then it would go to the board of directors meeting and maybe a special meeting for discussion in the proper channels.
So does this amount to a meeting every month?
With respect to?
I guess reimbursements.
No. The finance committee?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it doesn't have to be. The language is just that it's submitted to the finance committee for review, that it's going to be going through the payroll processing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that part of it will continue. And then the finance committee, if they don't meet each month, would review whichever ones they hadn't reviewed at that time. So we wouldn't have to hold a meeting each month just for that purpose.
So you could just send them through to us with DocuSign and we could each just sign with DocuSign. Would that be sufficient?
I can check that with legal counsel. They didn't see a need for signature. They felt that this forum would be the place for review. But I can add that and ask, pose the question.
Because that's what I'm confused about, unless I'm not reading it properly. You're talking about two timesheets a month for the general manager.
Correct.
Two timesheets a month, right. And that would be two paychecks a month.
Yes.
So somehow finance committee doesn't meet twice a month or even once a month. Correct. So that's why I was thinking that we'd be conducting this review just like offline.
No, the way that I see it is that the finance committee, they might actually have let's say they met every month. There would be two timesheets that would be provided to the finance committee. But if for some reason the finance committee met on a quarterly basis, then all of those quarter timesheets for each of those months would be provided to the finance committee.
But you'd still get paid regularly.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's the part. My head.
Okay. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. The legal counsel put in here was just that the general manager's timesheet would be submitted and go through the payroll processing function in accordance with district policy on payroll.
Okay. But
that the finance committee would be provided the timesheets most likely after the fact, sometimes right on the same date, but most likely after the fact.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
And that obviously action could be taken after that time.
Got it.
Okay. Any questions? Any more questions?
Are you looking for us to formally refer this to the full board, or are you just taking our comments and then you'll put this in the board?
Well, I think that that's, so the district policy is currently on policy changes that the proposed policy language is submitted to all directors. So I've sent out copies to all the directors and that it would be discussed at a future meeting. So I think the recommendation probably from finance to put it on the board meeting would help that process continue along.
Okay. All right. But you'll still be able to get paid.
This is just for internal controls, really. Something that the auditors will look at, that somehow time is being reviewed at any certain time. So, yeah.
It could be informal as we now write texts. You know, we're now doing that. We're not writing them. We do them electronically. But so it would be fairly easy to just go over one of us or both of us to go over it, the timesheet.
Yeah, and this really, you wouldn't have to do that. It would just be a function of the finance committee and it wouldn't hinder the payment of wages at all.
So it would just be a retrospective most of the time.
Yeah.
And just kind of say, we've looked at this, we agree.
Yes.
On the odd chance that there was something that we didn't agree with, then there would be a payroll adjustment.
Right.
I don't know if we're really supposed to vote in this meeting, but Don, would you agree to refer this to the board for consideration at the board meeting as a policy change?
Probably, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, we've been doing reviewing all the manual changes as we go along.
Yeah.
With approval, yeah.
There was a hand up from the public, but then the hand went down. Did someone have a public comment? Hand back up. Okay, sorry.
I don't know if this is the place where Rush away to it comes to the full board. That's what I was debating. The question's more a technical thing. Isn't it already that every time the board sees all the checks coming at the meeting, correct?
Yes.
Oh, I think maybe maybe something got lost.
I'm saying already isn't it the general manager's checks, like the payments to her come, the board has to authorize the transmittal forms at the meetings, or they get a copy of the transmissions anyway. I'm just thinking of how the board does it, in that we all know, or every month, every biweekly, two directors would sign off or review the finances going out the door.
So they would go in the consent column, most likely.
They just wouldn't see ours. So that's just the place at which the finance committee would see ours.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was trying to get that clarification. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. And then there's another hand up. Go ahead, Lynn. I think I'm unmuting you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a question for Mary. You mentioned time reports, and I'm wondering, is the submission of hourly time reports required by government code, or is this something that districts can decide whether or not they want to have them from hourly waged employees?
So for hourly employees, they are required to produce a timesheet with numbers of hours. What you can have generally is with, say, executive level employees that have a salary. So it's not based on a number of hours, they're exempt from FLSA. You could submit a timesheet with just 80 hours and you wouldn't have to report the daily work hours. So you can, it's different for a salaried employee. So when you're paying an hourly employee, it's more of an internal control for the auditors to demonstrate why it is you're paying someone what you're paying.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, and I don't see any other comments. So thank you, Mary. I think consider this referred to the board. Okay,
great.
And then are you also asking us to review your timesheet, the timesheet that's in the packet?
Yeah, so that's just provided for your review. You don't have to sign off on it. It just, if you see anything that is out of line, that's the point at which you would potentially take that to the board of directors for a discussion.
Well, I missed, what's that about?
Oh, the actual timesheet. I included the actual timesheet. Just to show you what it's going to look like when it comes in. And it's just for your review. If you see anything out of line, if I'm getting paid for 500 hours, you would say that's a problem. So that's just for your review.
Got it.
So no official approval required. Just if you see something that's a problem, then you would take action.
Got it. 21, you found that one, right, Don? 21.25 hours through the 15th of May.
I'm lost.
What, I'm sorry?
What did you, say it again.
I wanted to make sure that you saw that sheet. It's behind, it's the page after the budget policy, and it says item 2.6 at the top, and it's a timesheet for 21.25 hours.
Okay.
I'm fine with it, Mary. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
So 2.7, is the police protection CSD lease. And really this is just for information. Back, I believe in the April meeting, there was direction that, consideration be given to extend the lease for the CSD, KPP CSD. And the direction was to extend the lease for 90 days, renewable month to month. I have provided that to legal counsel and it's in progress. So originally the board president was directed to submit that lease, but with the change in policies and the authority being given to the general manager, I've taken that. So it's just to provide an update that legal counsel is working on that. I also had a conversation with the interim general manager, Mr. Lindsay, and provided an update on the lease with him. So he's aware it's in progress.
Great. Thank you. Any public, anything from you on that, Don?
No.
Okay. I don't see any hands raised, so we can move ahead.
Outside service providers. Let's see. Before I was appointed interim general manager, I served in the consultant role, and the scope of services really was to, look at compliance with internal controls. So as part of this one, I submitted the invoice, since I'm going to be submitting for payment through our process, the invoice for services under the prior agreement. I wanted the finance committee to have the opportunity to review it. And then with respect to the transition on the current service provider, we had discussion at the board meeting to review the invoices for regional government services. So I've reviewed that and I have a table that kind of follows along with their two billings. So first, the next item I'll go back to, the consulting invoice for me, that's included in here for the time prior to becoming an employee, for review, and it'll be submitted through the process. And you'll see it on the transmittal going through the board of directors. So it's really just to provide you with that information. The table that I included, and it's kind of difficult to collapse this information. So as part of reviewing the services provided by regional government services, I took a look at the different staff positions that have worked with the district, their activity levels. And off to the very right, I took out the scope tasks and kind of made a check as to which staff member was falling under which scope task. I think part of the concern was maybe some of the work hadn't been within the scope of services. So for my review, it appears to me that all fell within the scope of services. And I think there is a correction from the meeting, the board meeting we had. At that point in time, I think the year to, or the contract to date has been listed at about 177,000. And I think there was comment that the current invoice wasn't included, but it actually was. So 177,000 includes all of the services through April. There'll be an invoice for May, but the services have obviously scaled back tremendously. So the May invoice will be fairly small. So it's just to provide kind of a correction on that. The actual invoices, March has been kind of referred back to be reviewed again by the board for potential payment. And then we have April. Some of the things that I wanted to provide an executive summary on that I think could potentially help the board with any concerns on, you know, the fact that it, maybe that it costs more than, I think I heard the concern raised that it costs more than the traditional administration for the district had cost in the past. And it looks like there are activities that I could see a reason for that, but a lot of improvements, as Director Stein mentioned, have been put into place. Some of those major tasks that I see are the staffing structure and reorganization discussion that occurred in December. They reviewed a district manager, general manager job description and staffing structure options for approval. They worked on an IT plan of action in January. They worked on the staffing model again in December to January to finalize it. They went through some policy changes, which the one in which it changed board president acting to the general manager authority. They've also provided some GM, general manager and support staff job descriptions and FTE recommendations going into the recruitments, and then worked on some the contract extension with the CPA firm and the audit. And a lot of those fall outside of the typical administration of activities that you might see within a year. So I could understand it costing more than your typical annual administration. So that is information that would then be going back to the board. But I did include the invoices for the finance committee. Now that we have information that I believe that the charges fall within the scope of the contract. So it's for discussion to get direction from the finance committee on next steps.
So Mary, I have a clarifying question, but first I want to say that I think that the way that you laid out this analysis is very helpful.
Okay.
In terms of the table and the scopes of work, and also the same for your own consulting invoice.
Okay.
You're really showing how the tasks relate back to the scope of work.
Sure.
So I think that's really helpful. Okay. But, you know, with respect to the $177,000, I do remember that I asked Glenn at the board meeting whether that included the $38,000 invoice, and he said that it did not. But now, are you telling me that it included both the $38,000 and the subsequent $25,000?
That's what my table shows. I have a little bit of variance that I have to figure out what it's for, and it could be for expense reimbursements that I haven't found yet. But according to my records, it is up through April.
Okay.
And I did provide this table to RGS so that they can let me know if there are any issues with it.
All right, because that's quite substantial compared to what he told us at the board meeting, because that's about 68, 58, about $65,000 difference.
Right.
That is definitely good. There were some expense reimbursements that might make up the difference. They were not that
high. And I found some, but it looks like there could be a little bit more, but I'm pretty close. So I think that that's at least reassuring that it does include those months and they're not going to be additional to that 177.
Yeah, there is no way of reevaluating the quality of the work, I don't think. I mean, you're basically looking at where the work was done, but and I think that some of the board members were thinking they were getting shortchanged on it, but I would think it's really hard to track down.
Yeah, that's why I kind of listed out those additional projects that they worked on that really are outside of what you might do in any given year, which could account for the reason that the services seem to cost more than the district might have thought. So as far as payment of invoice, I know we haven't paid the March invoice and we now have received the April. I'm a little bit concerned about not paying the invoice, at least for March, when we have received the services. If we can't from a legal standpoint, I don't think we could not pay it if we don't have some dispute that we can pinpoint, some charges that we can pinpoint.
That would be overbilling or not doing a good job. I think you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, I don't see where we can withhold that payment. So yeah, we might want to think about considering that
in
your future.
And if I understand it, these are a lot of independent, I'm now pointing at your chart here, but they were independent contractors, I think. So you'd have to chase them down one at a time. I mean, there's no way of sort of looking at it broadly.
Well, and the group of them, aside from me, work for RGS. So they are employed.
Oh, they are employees. Okay. I guess I thought they were more independent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm also nervous about not paying the March invoice. I think it might have been a little bit impulsive of us at the board meeting to defer it, but I think that Mary's done a good job looking into this. I mean, I can say that being on the ground with many of these folks, I can tell you which ones I thought did very high quality work and made substantial improvements. There were some where there was some scope creep where all of a sudden they were all over the place. And then we had to say, we'll handle that later. Thank you. And then I think there was that general administrative layer that was not a targeted function. Like, and finance was targeted, and I think they did a very good job. But some of the general services, I thought, there was a lot of overlap. They were very inefficient. But I don't know what we can do about it. I don't think we can do enough about it.
I think it would have been helpful if somebody like me were here back then monitoring it rather than putting the board in the position.
I think so. It was out of control.
So
there's some on the board that won't be happy unless we go after them, and I just don't think it's worth the effort.
Well, and it would be a problem if it ever became a legal matter, because we had to sign a conflict waiver, and so did they, because the same firm represents both of us. So what we've learned about these conflict waivers is if we ever got into a legal issue, both of us, them, RGS, and us, would have to seek out independent legal counsel.
Yep.
I think it would end up costing us more than just paying the bills.
It could be very costly.
Yeah.
You'll have to make a good firm statement on that, I think.
Yeah. So I what do you need from us, Mary? I mean, we don't really vote at these meetings, but I'm willing to recommend if Don agrees.
Well, it depends on if we want to push potential consideration for payment of one or both of these invoices just to the June meeting, or if we have a special meeting, if we want to include those. My only concern is that the March one is getting a little behind, more so than the April, because April would be considered in June anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was thinking about it too. We do have a special meeting coming up next week, and so we could put this on the agenda before we get to the heart of what we had planned to talk about, and the board could approve it at that meeting.
And I'd be happy to prepare that executive summary ahead of that, that also talks about the things that I mentioned, the kind of outside of your typical administration tasks that they performed.
So what do you think about that idea, Don? Advance the $38,000 March invoice to the special meeting, and then even if we would have paid the April invoice in June.
We would have. Yeah, we would have paid the March one long. Yeah, I think we need to follow through on that.
Okay. So I can incorporate that on the special meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Certainly. So those were my only items. I put future agenda items on the agenda in case there are any. I haven't identified any at this point.
Well, going back to item 2.1, what we would typically do at this meeting is actually review and refer the detailed budget to the board. I know that you and I had a brief conversation about the fact that some of the contract data was coming in late. And then there's also a question about comparing how the reconciliation was recorded last year versus on the budget versus how it was recorded on the financial statements.
Right. It was different from some of the numbers that I know I've heard. So I need to go take a little bit more of a look at that. So there are a few items that will be revised. Otherwise, the overall budget is ready to be considered by the board, and we'll get further detail as more time allows.
So one thing I noticed is that you changed the, made a different format, and you collapsed a number of categories that used to be more line items. And I guess the question is, I think others on the board may have an interest in discussing that. So the question is whether we should go over that in very much detail right now or save it for the board meeting.
Well, perhaps the board meeting, this was collapsed so that I could get a table in front of the committee for an overall budget so that you'd see the total amounts and the major category breakdowns. But I would like to put more detail into it. There just wasn't enough time in the past week. So I would like to include more.
History.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm for, she pick it up and fill it in the next time.
Okay. All right.
Is the debt services item, is that the settlement?
Yes.
With dollars? That's the monthly payment of $952. Okay.
Yeah,
The professional consulting service fees, does that include RGS and legal? And does that also include the architect?
Yes, any consulting services that weren't part of capital outlay, yes.
Okay. All right.
So those can be broken down more, but it's just to get the table to the committee.
And then the fund balance of $5,939,683. Mm-hmm. That includes all the reserve funds, the contract reserve, fire engine reserve, the public safety building reserve. They're all collapsed into one fund there.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item or any further public comment? I see no hands raised. All right. So, are you good, Don? Anything else you want to?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mary.
All right. Thank you.
Glad to have you aboard, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. I'm having a lot of fun.
Good. Great.
Good.
All right. Thank you.
I don't know if it's 3:53 p.m. and we are adjourning.
All right. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Yep. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.